Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. A little technical difficulty there as Ton and I are social distancing. Ton is coming to us from Utah County. Ton, you're back.
I'm back.
Okay, you just gave me a heart attack because I can answer some of these questions, but a lot of them, they're a little too technical for me. I was asking you about how and when to prune a Scotch broom shrub. It's in bloom right now.
You want to give, you can give them a light haircut right when they're done blooming. It depends, because the Scotch broom, it has a different look. It almost looks like a sagebrush when it's not in bloom. And so you, if it's getting a little bit wild and woolly, you can just get some hedge trimmers out. And you don't want to overdo it, but you can round it off if you want.
Okay. Next question comes from Trent in West Valley. Good morning, Trent. And what is your question?
I have some trees in my backfield, a couple shade trees, they're oaks, and some fruit trees. And I was wanting to kill the grass and the weeds underneath them and do a mulch and put a drip system around them, if that's possible. And I was wondering how big should the mulch go around the trees?
Well, the mulch should go be a couple of inches deep, but how big are the trees?
Okay, my bur oak is about 8 foot tall, and I had a new one this year, a Schumard oak, and it's about 12 foot tall.
Okay.
And then the fruit trees are about 8 foot.
Okay, so temporarily you can do drip, and you'd want to use several emitters per tree, like three or four, because, you know, the roots just aren't in that little area where the one emitter is going to be. But as those trees get older, especially the oaks, you're going to need something that will water under the canopy, because, okay, you know, a couple of emitters by the trunk on a 30-foot tree is not going to cut it. And so for now, the emitters, the drip emitters would be fine. On the fruit trees, you'll eventually want to convert to what are called micro emitters that spray water out in a more limited area so they can soak the soil a good 18 inches deep. On your oak trees, you're probably going to need to get a hose and sprinkler over the years and just water it under the canopy.
Okay, and I was going to do a circle around the oak trees especially, just kill everything else. But will I need to increase that size as those trees get bigger?
Well, you probably will. I mean, on a mature tree, if you can have a 6 or an 8 foot wide ring, that is great. And you don't necessarily need to put mulch down, especially if you have clay soil. Sometimes those mulches can have a tendency to hold a little too much water in. But the bigger the ring, the better.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next text is coming from Kaysville, Ton. This person has a quaking aspen tree, or trees, I should say, and the leaves turn black as soon as they come out, and they want to know if there's something that they can do to prevent this.
It's probably, there's a couple of different diseases that could cause that, but when they're leafing out, it's usually caused by rain. It's aspen leaf spot, caused by rain or by sprinklers. And so what they would need to do is when those leaves just first start to emerge in late March or early April, they may need to use a fungicide once a week for 3 or 4 weeks to see if they can get them through, and then make sure that the sprinklers aren't hitting the trees and they're only watering from the base, so they're, you know, the sprinklers aren't getting all over the place, because that spreads the disease.
Okay, next caller, Dallas in Salt Lake. Good morning, Dallas. How can we help you this morning?
Hi there, you guys.
Go ahead. What's your question?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, in keeping with the cherry theme, I just retired, and this year I have taken all my cherry branches and tied them down so that they're parallel to the ground, about 6 feet off the ground. I have baling twine, and I've got straw bales on the ground. So that those were my anchors, and I don't know what the formal term for that procedure is, but I've done it, and I just wonder if I'm crazy or do I have too much time on my hands?
No, you're fine, and it's common. Well, not common, but people are known to train their fruit trees, and this is one way that you can. Now, what will happen is that the tree will keep sending branches vertical. And so you can train your scaffold branches like that, but it's still the tree's going to try to exact its revenge eventually. But yeah, you're fine doing that. And it's very common for fruit growers, especially in pear trees, to use spacers. And what they will do is take a 1x4 and notch two V's, inverted V's on either side of the board, and then put that in the branch to force it down to create some wider branch angles. And so in essence, you're doing the same thing, but you're just using an anchoring system.
But I had the idea that it might boost production. The tree is loaded, but it's a good producer anyway. But
it, besides just maybe allowing a little more sunlight in, I doubt that you're going to boost production. And I was more assuming you were doing it to make it easier to pick the cherries.
Well, I'm still where I can get them picking, but yes, it does make it easier. And then I'm going to net them too when the time comes. So that'll make it a lot easier, you know, and a uniform job. And so I wasn't wrong, I guess, for
You're fine. People do all sorts of things with their fruit trees, and that you're fine.
And I was a mailman, and in the past when I'd come across a tree on my route and it was full of beautiful cherries, man, I just grabbed a couple of handfuls and went on, and I didn't check for worms, but they were sure delish.
Oh, they are, and the worms are usually tasteless. Unless you bite one in half, you're just fine.
All right. Dallas, thank you so much for your call this morning. The Greenhouse Show is sponsored this morning by Ivory Homes, their brand new overland community. It's 6344 North Vernon Drive in Eagle Mountain, Utah. And with me right now is Trevor Taylor. And Trevor, up on our webcam right now, we have the beautiful view that you have from this wonderful community.
Yeah, it's
it's an incredible setting, isn't
it? It's just, it really is. I don't know if you can see from my angle here, but we're actually overlooking the Pony Express Trail. It just comes right through this community. And this trail, it's the historic Pony Express Trail, goes all the way from California to Missouri. So from this community, you have access to literally hundreds of miles of trails. So it's just a very, very expansive, outdoorsy-oriented location. We're looking at the lake mountains now, and just over those mountains is Utah Lake. So it's a great, just very open feeling area, with just tons of activities to do. Trails galore. We've got the park over here. We've also got the Mountain Ranch Mountain Bike Trail, which is just a couple miles away. And you've got some really cool BMX and mountain biking trails with ramps and things like that. So it's just an awesome area. Really oriented towards anyone who likes to get outdoors and just have a good time.
Earlier, we were taking a virtual tour of this wonderful model home that you have, and I'd like you to talk about just the amenities that you provide in your homes.
Sure.
I mean, a huge closet, for one thing. That was one thing that I couldn't help but notice.
Oh, yeah. Like in all of our homes, we're going to have, you know, especially in the owner's bedroom, we're going to have a really nice walk-in closet, large owner's bathroom. We're also going to have, in a lot of our homes, we have half baths as well for when guests come. We have a variety of architectural styles, but one of the things we do really, really well is we have a lot of focus on open concept plans that do a really good job of just bringing the family together, really good for, you know, entertaining friends and guests. And that I would say that's one of the bigger focuses of our signature homes, is we really focus on the openness and spaciousness of our plans.
Yeah, which is why you have like a beautiful great room right off of the kitchens.
Yes.
For the family.
Yes, and this
do they still call it a great room? I'm sorry, Trevor, do they still call that a great room or do
you know, there's in the world of home building, it's funny, depending on the location here. I'm from Seattle originally. They've got different names for it, but here in Utah, I've noticed that people like to call it the great room. You know, it's just the idea that you've got the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen that all kind of ties into the same space. And in this particular plan, it's the Carlisle Prairie. We've got some really nice vaulted ceilings that just contribute to the openness of the plan. Couple that with 8-foot tall doors and just lots of windows. It just creates a really nice open feel. The Carlisle is one of our most popular Rambler plans. It's really just a great option for anyone, families and empty nesters alike.
Well, we're excited that you are here with us today, and we want to remind people that you do have an open house beginning at 11 o'clock, some fun activities, and you do have all the CDC's recommendations in place for social distancing, so we really appreciate that. And if you'd like
to see,
they can see more on your website as well, right?
Yes. One thing I forgot to mention is that we're also having a really cool scavenger hunt with Ellie the elephant. Ellie's kind of our mascot. It's that red elephant that you see in the Ivory Homes logo. So if you find the Ellie elephants that we've had hidden in the community, we are giving out a couple of flower packages for anyone who is able to find that. So that's just kind of a fun family activity that we're doing. The flowers are the prize while supplies last. So if you make it out here in time, 11 a.m. is when we're starting out here in Eagle Mountain. You have a chance to, if you find that elephant, win some flowers for your yard.
All right. And the address again, 6344 North Vernon Drive. That is in Eagle Mountain. And we'll be back with more on the KSL Greenhouse Show. The number to call, 575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show, sponsored this morning by Ivory Homes and their Overland community. And you can attend an open house at that community in Eagle Mountain at 6344 North Vernon Drive. That begins at 11 o'clock today. Ton, our next texter wants to plant a tree on the south side of their home. And they're wondering what would be their best choice if they wanted something nice, low maintenance, and could possibly give some possible added efficiency to their home.
They want to plant a deciduous tree. Those are trees that will lose their leaves in the winter. So I think it's more going to depend on how big they want it to get. But one of the trees I specified earlier is a water-wise tree that's really adapted is bur oak. And if they have, 50 feet high and wide the space for that, then bur oak would be something. If they need more of a medium tree, then maybe State Street maple would be one that would be fine.
All right. John in Mona has a question. Good morning, John. How can we help you?
Yeah, I've got a guy that's willing to sell some trees. They're kind of mature trees, anywhere from 15 to 20 feet tall with trunk diameters that are from 2 to 5 inches. He's tearing out his backyard, and I'm just wondering, I know it's not the ideal time to transplant, but how much of a risk am I taking if I transplant those trees from up in Highland down to Mona? And is it worth paying much for those? That's kind of my question.
Doing that right now, you would probably have an 80 or 90% loss rate.
Is it that much? Okay.
It is. If you could have done this in February or March or even late October, then that would increase. Yeah. Now, the other problem is that these are not farm-grown trees, and most tree farms, the way they water concentrates the roots more near the trunk.
Okay.
And if these trees have just been in the yard, that might necessitate even bigger root balls, which can cost thousands of dollars to move if you can hire somebody to do it. And then for those trees, the general rule in horticulture is that for when you have a bald and burlap tree like you would, there's a year of recovery time for every inch of trunk width. So on something that's 6 inches wide, that tree may not do really well for 5 or 6 years.
It'll stall it for a while. Okay. Well, no, that's good to know. That was my wonder if I was too late. It sounds like he's ripping his yard out in a week, and so we were just going to see what it was like if we had a chance.
Yeah, just pop the stuff in yourself and then you were only going to be out time, it's different because you would have to have a tree moving company go in there with a spade and then transport those and replant them. And where they're actively growing right now, a lot of those trees are as good as dead.
Okay. Well, that's great. That answers my question. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next texter is asking about their lilac bushes. They had two that bloomed just fine. A lighter purple one didn't, and it has bloomed for more than 10 years. And the only thing they did different, they put some iron that has phosphate, and they're wondering if that could have affected it.
No, I don't think so. If it were pruned and they pruned the fruit-bearing branches off, that would have. Sometimes they lilacs just, they can be a little bit finicky. And it's usually that they don't ever start blooming, but I've seen many situations to where they've flowered a few times and then just stop, and it's a mystery as to why.
Okay. Well, the Greenhouse Show this morning is sponsored by Ivory Homes and their brand new Overland community in Eagle Mountain, 6344 North Vernon Drive. Trevor Taylor is with us from Ivory Homes. And Trevor, talk about the theme for Ivory Homes. And really, it's not just about building a home, but it's about creating a wonderful community and how that's working for you there in Eagle Mountain.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're just growing so fast out here. One of the things that we've started recently to really emphasize is this idea of water-wise landscaping, also known as localscaping. We've partnered up with the Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District to help educate people on how to create a water-wise yard. What a water-wise yard really is it's a more functional space that doesn't use just grass or just sod. A lot of older communities in Utah, you look at their front yards, their backyard, it's just sod. And the reason for that typically is because people think, well, sod is typically a little bit cheaper up front. But in the long run, you do spend an awful lot of money on water. In the long haul, it's harder on people's, you know, water bills. And it's also a bit harder on the state to be using so much water. So with these water-wise landscaping plans that we've started to emphasize, and we've also started to include in our workforce housing homes, you are able to save about 60% or use 60% less water than traditional landscapes. I just got one installed in my yard, and it looks beautiful, and it looks great. And, you know, if you are installing at your own yard, a bigger yard, there is typically just a slightly higher upfront cost, but in the long run, it is nice to see that lower water bill. So it's just another thing that we're doing to push really just more sustainable green living in connection with Ivory's Green Campaign.
Okay, Trevor, stand by with us. We're going to talk much more about this following the top of the hour news. And you're listening to The Greenhouse Show, KSL AM, Salt Lake City, KSL FM, Midvale.